Amen. Can you hear me? Is it on? So wonderful. So we've really just, there's so much that has been going on this morning. And I think we need to just sort of just take it in as God leads us and as he guides us. I think there's a bit of an echo on this. Is it okay now? Is it okay? Maybe it's just echoing in my head. It's that hollow head. Is there a Simon here? Is there a Simon here? Because I believe today's message is for all of us as Simons who need to become Peters. Today is a change. You see, Simon led the old. Quentin was encouraging us about the old, letting the old go. And all of us were Simons. But what the Lord wants is for us to become a Peter. So we've heard a lot of prophecies, we've heard a lot of testimonies, we've heard a lot of going on today. But really what it's all about is how do I do this? So we can say, Lord, I commit my heart to you. Lord, I give everything to you. I surrender to you. But really, there's a practical way that we have to work this out. So we do commit and we do give our hearts. But in reality, we need to know how to work this out. And hopefully my message today is going to help us with that. So we've been hearing a lot in these past few weeks. We've been hearing about the end times. We've been hearing about the falling away, the apostate church. And the amazing thing is those that are falling away is the church. It's us. It's believers. It's Christians. And that's why this message is so important, is to help us not fall away, is to help us to become Peters that we are meant to be. I love what Mark shared the other last week. He said, have you been to your own funeral? It was quite a statement, actually. This thing of dying to self is part of this thing that we need to know. How do we do this? What do I focus on? Because it's easy to say die to self. Well, how? How do I go through this process? What does it actually mean for me? And of course, the love of God, where God first loved us. So we're going to go through some keys that are going to help us to walk out this life with Jesus. So I'm going to be sharing out of 1 John 1 today. We're going to go into the Word, all right, because that's where we find truth, is in the Word. And I just want to find out, you know, who's got their Bibles here today and who's got notebooks here today? Okay, this isn't a trick question, but what it is, it's quite relevant because today's preachings, a lot of preachings that I see and a lot of teachings that I see, the televangelists and those on TV, I don't really have to refer to my Bible anymore. Do you know that I can sit through a sermon and not even open my Bible? I sometimes don't even have to take notes. And this is part of what I'm going to be sharing. We need to get back into the Word. We need to be sitting under where we are looking in our Bible, where we are reading the Bible, where we are having to take notes out of our Bible because we've drifted from it. I don't know if you know it, but the church has drifted away from the Word. So I want to just build a little foundation before we go into 1 John. 1 John 1, I am going to read Colossians before that. But we've got cliches, Christian words that we say about being born again. We are born again, all of us, when we receive Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to be born again? Okay, so we've taken on a new life, we received Jesus Christ, we've asked for forgiveness, we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven, and these are all things that we talk about, but there's something much more important, something that God wants us to get hold of. And we need to understand this because it's going to help us with our walk. So I just want to read from Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14, first of all. It may come up on the screen. But it says, for this reason. So now Paul is speaking to the Colossians. He says, for this reason. What reason? The reason that you've now come to the truth. So you've come to hear the truth. So now I'm writing to you for this reason that you know the truth. That since the day you heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. So we're coming here today, we go home, we read our Bibles. Why? To come to the knowledge of His will. And we often hear, well, do you know the will of God? Do you know what the will of the God is for your life? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is, because we need to know it. What is the will of God? We're going to touch on it. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's too much natural understanding there. These preachers, false preachers, are teaching us how to learn the word, how to do this, how to work it out naturally. This is a spiritual understanding that we need to get through the Holy Spirit. We prayed for revelation for the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us spiritual understanding. And here's the thing, that you may walk worthy of the Lord all the time. And I love what Quentin was sharing, is the old has gone and the new has come. Not only when I gave my life to the Lord 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it is, but today is different to yesterday. Amen? Tomorrow will be different to today, because I'm walking a new day every day with the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Him. Not my pastor, not the church, not religion, nothing else, pleasing Him. Who? We're going to get to that. How? By being fruitful in every good work. We're not fruitful in our lounges, just watching TV, watching sermons, reading our Bibles. It leads us to good works. And increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'm going to share to you in 1 John 1, somebody who personally walked with Jesus, the knowledge of God. He knows about God. He walked with Him. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. One of the characteristics of a Christian, and I heard it today, is joy. And if your joy has been robbed, we need to get it back into your life. Because a lot of Christians are walking without joy. We're sulking. We're fearful. We're scared. We're downcast. Well, we're not supposed to be. We are meant to be filled with joy. And if your joy has been robbed, we need to put it back into you. Because we are joyful Christians. And giving thanks to the Father who has what? And He has one of the amazing things that we need to know. He, not us, has qualified us to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints of the light. So we've been reconciled to the Father, which means He's our Father, we are children, and we have an inheritance. What does that mean? It means there's been an exchange. Mark, I think somebody touched on it, but we have been changed. We no longer belong to the devil. We no longer belong to this world system. We now belong to God and His kingdom. Okay, so we now belong to someone else. And this someone else works under this different set of rules and ways which we need to learn and live by. In whom we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay. So what does this mean? So we have the redemption through His blood, and I might just touch on that. It talks about the blood. It's not the actual blood that changes us. It's His death, but blood speaks of sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice, which changes us. So this means we live differently. We have a new master. We are a slave to someone else. We were the slaves. We were slaves to sin. Whether you like it or not, by default, we were born into sin. Okay? But we have a new master now. And we need to learn how to serve this master and how to walk, as we read, how to walk with God. So some things have changed. And what I'm going to go through and touch through quickly, and we're going to move through it, is we need to learn how to have proper fellowship with God. That is what it is all about. And some of us have lost this. Some of us have got caught up into religion. We've got caught up into other things. We've got caught up into works. But what it's all about, and what 1 John 1 is going to teach us, it's all about fellowship with the Father. We have got a relationship that we got to know and walk out and learn to be joined in with the Father. And that is this amazing thing. This is the gospel. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Yes, I got gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I can pray. Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But what is it all about? I've been reconciled to the Father, and I have to have proper fellowship with Him. So we're going to look at God is light. Okay? It says God is light, and we know it says He is love and life, and I'm not going to even be able to touch on other things, but we're going to touch on the light side of it. And maybe later on we can get into teachings and the rest of it. But God is light. And there's two major hindrances and roadblocks that will stop us from coming into God's light, into fellowship with light. One is worldliness, getting caught up in this world. It will hinder our relationship with God. And two is getting caught up in the lures and the cunning schemes of false teachers. We need to know truth from untruths. There's a lot of things out there in this world that are leading us away from true fellowship with God, and we need to know what it is. How do we know what it is? When we learn who God is, we'll know if somebody's teaching truth or not. The truth is not the preacher, the truth is what he's saying about God the Father. So we need to learn from the person who taught us. Jesus came and He taught us. Okay, so quickly, and then we're going to go into 1 John. This letter was written by John, okay, in Asia, probably around the area of Ephesus. Now, the amazing thing is this letter was written to well-established Christians. We would think this letter was written to new Christians or Christians that had backslidden. No, he's warning constantly Christians who are well-established in truth. They are established in the faith, and they were grounded in the apostles' doctrine. Yet, their truth was being threatened. And we know this is the last days, and we know that our truth is going to get threatened. We know there's going to be a falling away. But I'm going to try and help us to say, how will we prevent being lured away or falling away from truth? Because it's out there and it's rife. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're fellowshipping with. Be careful who you're mixing with. Okay. So one of these things that he was dealing with, just so you can understand as we get into 1 John, was something like Gnosticism. Okay, where teachers would say, yes, Jesus came, but he wasn't really man. He was a spirit. He looked like man, but he was a spirit. So this is some of the teachings that are out there. Or, no, Jesus was a man, but then a spiritual Jesus came. This is what Gnosticism was in those days. Came, and at his baptism, he was filled. And then at his crucifixion, just prior to his crucifixion, the real Jesus left him, and that was just a man. So there's different teachings out there. And Paul warns us of another gospel. So one of the things we got to know is somebody teaching the true Jesus is we got to know who Jesus was. He came as man and he came as God, and we're going to get into that. So be careful of teachings where people teach Jesus, but not our Jesus, not the real Jesus, not the Jesus of the Word. Okay, so now we're going to get to 1 John 1. I don't know how far we're not going to get very far, but I'm going to try and get through at least 9 verses because it is amazing. We need to be eating of this word. We need to be dwelling in this word. Okay. So 1 John 1. This is a man who walked with Jesus. Okay. He didn't get the second hand. This wasn't a myth or a story. He walked with Jesus. He says, that which was from the beginning, not the beginning of creation. Jesus was with God from the beginning of time. He's eternal forward. We all eternal forward from the date we get birth. Jesus is eternal backwards as well. Hard thing to believe, but that's our Jesus, okay? If anyone preaches another Jesus, that's not Jesus. Jesus was with God from the beginning, backwards, before anything was Jesus with God. So that's a key. If somebody tells you something else, rebuke him. Which we have heard. Now, this is from John saying, we sat with this Jesus, this man who was God. This is the incredible thing. This man was before all eternity. This man was with God from the beginning. This God came as man, and I walked with this Jesus. I get goosebumps when I think of it. This is our Jesus. They walked with him, God in the flesh, incarnate, okay? We heard him. We have seen him with our eyes. We looked upon him. We studied him. We laid our hands on him. We have handled him concerning, and here he tells us who this man is. He's the word of life. Nothing else. Everything we read in the Bible, everything we study is about Jesus Christ. He is the word. So when we talk about the Bible, when we talk about the word, it's Jesus. It says then in chapter 1, verse 2, the life was manifested. And this is what John is wanting to say, is, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So once again, when we read 1 John 1 and when we read the word, we're getting it firsthand from an apostle who walked with Jesus. Now, a lot of people call themselves apostles and might give you a different doctrine. No, their only doctrine is from the apostles that walked with Jesus, that saw him, that handled him, that touched him, that examined him. Theirs is the truth. Theirs is the doctrine. That's the apostles' doctrine. I've heard other apostles who say, no, we are apostles, and they bring us a different doctrine. They can't. They didn't see and didn't walk and didn't touch the real Jesus. Okay, remember that, because there's going to be a lot of false teachers that are going to come and try and cunningly take you away from truth. And we need to be prepared for this. Okay, he was an eyewitness. He says Jesus was a real physical man. We saw him. We touched him. Don't tell us he was a spirit. I touched him. I saw him. And he was eternal past and eternal forward. Right, verse 3. And that which we have seen, we've seen it. Not only me, there were other witnesses. So it's not just me. There was a whole group of us. There was a whole lot of us that saw Jesus. Okay? We've seen and heard. And what we want to do is declare to you. We declare it through the word. Not someone else. Don't let a secondhand person tell you. We declare it through the word. That's why we need to go back to our word. That's why we don't go off truth that we hear in our Bible. And that's why I say too many people are preaching out of the Bible. And when I look at it, I don't know what they're preaching about because I don't see it in the word. And why do we declare it to you? That you also, they had fellowship, but that we also may have fellowship with us. And this is an amazing thing I'm going to touch on. He said you can have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, once we have fellowship with each other, what we need to be doing is our true fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So I need to be asking you, we fellowship together, we're having fellowship, but are you fellowshipping with the Father and with the Son? And we may be praying to him and we may be reading, but are you fellowshipping? And do you understand what fellowship is and what he's talking about, this relationship of walking with the Father and with the Son? And this is what John is trying to tell us, is I've done it. I've experienced it. I've walked with this Jesus, and I've seen his fellowship with the Father, so I can explain it to you. Because that's what it's all about, is we need to come into fellowship with the Father and with the Son. So it's an invitation to come into fellowship. And the amazing thing, it's not apart from the Father and the Son. It's in the midst of them. Jesus doesn't say, listen, it's me and the Father, and you guys, can you eat over there? Or I'll just show you the Father, and then can you go wait outside? He says, you have fellowship with myself and with my Father as I have fellowship with the Father. So as Jesus had fellowship with the Father, so should we. How do we know how to fellowship? Or let's follow Jesus. He's got perfect fellowship with the Father. And John experienced it, and he wants us to have this fellowship in the midst of them. Fellowship comes from a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. It means sharing, a communion, all things in common. Did you know that God has given us all things and we're supposed to give him all things and we should have all things in common? Not mine, Father, this is mine and that's yours. There is no such thing as it. That's not true fellowship. It's a common bond and it's a common life. It's a shared life. We're supposed to have a shared life with each other, and we're supposed to have a shared life completely with the Father and with the Son. No compartments, no differences, no on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and at life group and the rest of the time is mine. It's a shared life. It's one life. Okay? What was so profound is when John was saying that is people knew that men and men can have a relationship. Do you know that he's calling us into a relationship with God? With the eternal God, God who created the heavens and the earth and everything we can see and everything we can't see, he's calling us into a relationship with God. And we need to get our minds around this, because it's not just fellowship with someone, a person like we got with a neighbor or a friend. We are coming into fellowship with God himself. That is incredible. That is such an amazing invitation. And some of us don't grab it and run with it. We sit in the midst of it. We sit apart from it. Yet Jesus is saying, come in the midst of us and come and have a relationship with God himself. Okay, it will sink in. I know it's a lot and it's hard, but this is something to grab hold of, because Jesus has made it possible for us to have a relationship with God, the almighty, powerful, mighty God. Okay. The amazing thing is, we can say yes, but they walked with Jesus. But their true relationship came after Jesus' crucifixion and the Holy Spirit came on them. That's when they really experienced true relationship and they understand all things, and we can have the same. Through the Holy Spirit and through what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have that same relationship that they had. All right. And the greatness of it is, who is this? He talks there in the end there in verse 3. He says, who is this fellowship with? The Father and his Son. Who is Jesus? He's God's Son. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. He's God's Son. Okay? He is, who is he? He's Jesus, and he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Yeah, he says he's Son Jesus Christ. What does Christ mean? The anointed one? The Messiah. That's what, when we say Jesus Christ, it's the Messiah. The Messiah everyone was looking for. The Messiah the Jews are looking for. Jesus is the Messiah. He's not some dude. He's not some guy. He's not. He is the Messiah. He is God, man, God, Jesus. All right. Thora was telling me in her study in James, you know, we need to grab hold of who this Jesus is. He is God, the eternal one, the Messiah who died for us and brought us into this amazing relationship. And when we come into this relationship, as we're going to just touch on a little bit, is we need to come into this relationship on his terms. We can't fellowship with God on our terms. And this is where this hindrance comes, where sometimes we struggle or we're not sure, where are you, God? Why am I battling with this? What am I doing? Because most of the time we're telling God to come and walk with us in our way. But what we do is we got to walk with God according to his ways, his principles, his purposes. And we got to understand who God is so we can walk in those ways. So we'll go into verse 4. So we're getting this, is we need to come into this relationship. And then verse 4 goes on to say, and these things we write to you so that your joy may be full. You cannot find joy anywhere else unless you have entered into a proper relationship with the Father and with his Son. Okay, so if you're finding yourself downcast, if you're finding yourself a little bit shaky, if you're waking up and you just not, Lord, I'm just so happy, I'm just so pleased, I'm filled with joy, I want to praise you, I want to worship you, I want to sing, I want to find Christians, I want to speak to them, I want to go tell them, there's a problem, because we are meant to be filled with joy. And we are not only meant to come into this joy now and then when we worship here for 10 minutes on a Sunday. It's a remaining joy, it's a constant joy, it's a character, it's a lifestyle. It's a living in this joy. It's there all the time. It's a bubbling up joy all the time. Okay, so the results of this fellowship is joy. John 15 verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Not come upon you now and then, or when you're happy, or lift yourself up. Come on, get up and try and find some joy. It remains on us. And that your joy may be full. It's not just a little joy, it's full. It overwhelms us. Okay, everything else just flees. Everything else just goes away. It's a joy which we need to persist for. What is it? I spoke the other day, and it wasn't here. It was another in the valley. Well, I preached on the treasure. Okay, a man came into a field and he found a treasure, and for the joy of it, he buried it and he sold all that he had so he could gain that field. It's a joy where you will give up everything. And Quentin was encouraging us, is we need to let go of the past, let go of the past. Well, how do I let go of the past? Find the treasure, find the joy, see who God is. Okay, he is light. And I'm going to touch on that. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I don't have much time, so we're going to move on quickly, and I'm just going to try and catch the meaty bits if I can. So fullness of joy is possible for every Christian. Listen to this. Fullness of joy is possible for every Christian, but it's not certain. It's up to you. Okay? It's up to you coming into this right relationship with God. And maybe we need to pray and touch on it afterwards, because it's a big thing not to have joy as a Christian. How do you lead somebody to the Lord if you aren't filled with joy and excitement and future and hope? You can't. It's difficult. Then it's just words. It's maybe a natural way. Joy is not found in the things of this world. Stop running off to the things of this world. Okay? Stop it. Our grandson would say, stop it. You can't find joy in this world. Let go of this world. You only find it in Jesus Christ. You only find it in a relationship with God. We try and find it on holidays, on things. Holidays are good. I love holidays. But we can't keep on looking to those things for our joy. We can't keep on looking for a new thing or going on looking at things in this world, in magazines and parties and things like that. That is not where you find joy. Believe me, God created, He invented, He knows. Okay, we find it in a relationship with Him, not in this world. It's in fellowship with God. And I want to know, it says, I read, it's no small loss to lose your joy. That's a big thing. And if you've lost it, you need to get it back by coming into right relationship with God again. Nehemiah, after he read the law, they were downcast. They said, what are we going to do? He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling you can't get through it, get your joy back, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Okay, so just quickly, those four verses, we've gone through four verses. Amazing what is in you, and there's just so much more. But just quickly to recap on some of the observations. By the way, when John wrote this, it was just one long sentence, okay? It wasn't broken up. But it says, John began with the beginning, the eternal God. God is eternal. Jesus is eternal, from the past to the beginning of all things. He told us that God was physically manifested. Okay, anyone that tells you he's not physically manifested, he's lying. He's a liar. He was physically manifested, fully man and fully God. And that he and others could testify of his eyewitnesses. We're going to be challenged at this end time of our truths. Teachers are going to challenge us on this. So we need to know these things so that we don't get carried away, so that we don't fall away and become part of that apostate church. He told us that God is the word of life. People tell us about Bible, about laws as rule. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the word. When we observe Jesus, when we receive Jesus, when we live as Jesus, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we are filled with the word. The word is within us. That is the word, and it brings life. He told us that God is distinct from the Father. Okay, some people will tell us that, and we know about the Trinity, but we need to realize that as you get the Father, you get the Son, and you get the Holy Spirit. Completely individual people. And I'm just trying to tell you truths so that you know what other people are preaching. There's other preachings and teachings out there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yes, they are one. Okay, one in agreement, one in Godhead. It's like having three managers agreeing with the same thing. Three different, but they agree on the same thing. They are God. He told us that we can have fellowship with this God. Many people tell you can't really have fellowship with God. You come to church, you go through religion, you do this. We have got fellowship with that God directly into the throne room, into the Holy of Holies. We can speak to God directly through Jesus Christ. And we need to get hold of this because we neglect this. And the world is taking us away from it. We're getting caught up in so many other things, and we're losing our fellowship with the Father and the Son. Okay? We are introduced into the fellowship of God's people. If you are isolating yourself, beware, be careful. You're starting to drift away. Isolation is not God's way, and it's not part of His fellowship, because John said we're coming to fellowship with each other, fellowship with us, and normally we come to know Jesus Christ through us first. You meet somebody, they're coming to fellowship with one another, Christ is manifested amongst us, and then they're introduced into fellowship with Jesus and with the Father. So if you are isolating yourself, if you're falling away, if you're finding you're rather doing other things than coming where God's people is and where the word is being preached, be careful. You may be drifting. Okay. So He told us that He is eternal existence, and He is the Word of life who physically came. He is God, the Son, named Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. And he told us that fellowship with Jesus leads to a life lived in fullness of joy. If you've maybe lost your joy, you may have drifted. You may have been drifting away a little bit. You have maybe have come out of fellowship, not may, you have, with the Father and with the Son. You may be fellowshipping a wrong way. You may be fellowshipping with the wrong Jesus, another Jesus. You need to get connected back to Jesus Christ, the one that John touched and saw and preaches about here in 1 John 1, because then you will be filled with this joy. All right, I don't know how much more time we've got. I'm going to then just quickly, unfortunately, I mean, there's a lot to take in here, but it's just so important and so powerful. And these are commands that we need to know, especially at this time. So let's move on to 5. So verses 1 to 4 would have been one sentence, and then John sort of changes and he moves into verse 5. And this is the amazing thing. Can you imagine we walked with John or Peter or Philip and we said, what did Jesus say to you? What you walked with Jesus, you what did Jesus say? Do you know that we know what Jesus said to them and he says it to us? Okay, and this is the message. He says, this is the message which we have heard from him. This is the message. And declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness. You want to know how to fellowship with someone? If I want to know more about Thora, I need to know her ways, what she likes, what drives her, who she is. Because if I want to get close to her and I want to fellowship with her, I need to get myself into those things. I need to be familiar with those things and I need to change so that I can adapt to that so that I can know her more. So to know how to fellowship with God and how to get close to God and Jesus is to know he is light. And in him is no darkness. We cannot bring darkness into this relationship. I'm not talking about salvation. You don't lose your salvation. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about closeness. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about walking with God. And that's the intentions of our salvation, not just to get to heaven, but have this relationship. So here's a key. There is no, God is light. He's not a light. He is light. And in him is no darkness. He is perfect. He is pure. He is holy. He is good. He has a divine nature. Now, to enter into this relationship, we need to enter with the same attitude and the same character. If I come to somebody who doesn't like to drink and doesn't like to swear and he's got certain ways, I can't come in there drunk and swearing and saying, come, we're going, you want to come with me? I'm going this way, I'm going to the shops or whatever, and I'm drunk and I'm swearing and I eat stuff he doesn't like. Do you really think we're going to hang out together and go to the same places? We're going to part ways. But if I come into this relationship saying, I also like that. Yes, that's exactly how I live my life. Yes, I enjoy and I value the things that you do and the way that you speak and that I come into relationship with this person. And that's the same thing with God. He is light. And in him is no darkness. And the thing is about darkness is darkness can't exist. It's the absence of light. So if we have any darkness in us, it's not because we're doing something right. It's because we have not filled ourselves with God. Okay, does that make sense? You don't have dark places. You've just not filled it with God. If you haven't filled that area with God, it's dark. Okay, and that's why you get light and you get darkness. It's not just, there's no gray. It's light or dark. We were delivered from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his God, of his Son. Even the sun, do you know that the sun's got spots of darkness in it? We can say, oh yeah, the sun. Some people worship the sun. It's got spots of darkness. It's got tracks of black. In God is unmingled, perfect purity. Okay, so we need to know, want to know how to walk with God? Start to get rid of the darkness in your life. Start to put away sin. Fill yourself with light, because that brings us into this perfect relationship with God. There is no sin or darkness in God at all. Okay. He does not falter. Then it goes on to say, so God is light, in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him, listen to this, If we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is encouraging us. He said, I walked with Jesus. I saw Jesus. I handled him. I watched his relationship with the Father. He told us, he taught us, he told us to put these things down and declare it to us. If we walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth. Big thing. Big thing. It hinders our relationship with God. So we will not have a good and perfect walk with our God. Now, I'm not talking about the occasional lapse. We all lapse. And I'm going to tell you how we can get out of that. Sometimes we do something wrong and we all sin and we all falter because it's going to come to us. I'm not putting condemnation. I'm actually going to bring freedom onto us later to show us how we can get over this. But what it is we lapse. He's talking about a continual walking in darkness, an area which you say, Lord, I'm just not going to give this up to you. Or I'm not really going to walk in this area. I'm not going to work out. Or you know where there's areas of darkness in your life that you just haven't handed over to God, and it's hindering your fellowship with him. So look at yourself and say, is there any darkness in me that's hindering my fellowship with God? Because he is light. And if I've got darkness in me, I do not practice the truth. And this is truth. All right. Unconfessed areas. I'll get into 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is the amazing thing. We're wondering why sometimes we don't like hanging out with each other, or we're resisting each other, or when somebody says, listen, we're having this together, we all just flock in there. We can't help coming together. It's because we're not walking in the light. The light actually hinders our relationships as well. Did you know that? Because we're filled with God, it hinders our relationships. So it goes on to say, we won't have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this wonderful thing is, well, how do I get rid of this darkness? We confess it. We come to Jesus and we say, Lord Jesus, I got this area in my life and I want to confess it to you. So what is confession? It's declaring, it's opening, it's agreeing. And if we agree, there cannot be any darkness in there because we've brought it into the light. And we confess once for all to come into the presence of God, but we got to continually. Okay, let's not get distracted with what's going on over there. Let's listen to the word. We need to continually ask and confess our sins. Because guess what? We do pick them up all the time. So we will never be sinless, but what we do every day is we sin less. Every single day, we should be sinning less and sinning less and sinning less. So every day, we bring our confessions before the Lord. Forgive me, Lord, by your blood. And once again, I'm telling you, just think about this. It's not the blood, the physical blood of Jesus that some religions preach, okay? It's his death on the cross. Blood talks of sacrifice. It's his sacrifice. He paid the price for you and I so that we can walk in the light all the time by confessing our sins one to another and to him. We are freed. No condemnation, no guilt, walking in the light. And I'm going to start closing now. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, well done, good. You're living such a good life. No, you're a liar. You deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. We all have sin, and this is the whole thing, is don't say, okay, well, it's okay, you know, I've got sin. No, okay, the whole purpose of this whole thing is to lead us out of sin. Okay, the whole purpose is to say, Paul says in Romans, is, oh, now because I've got the blood, can I continue sin? No, it's so that it can lead us out of sin. We have the blood of Jesus. I can say, I leave that behind. The past is gone, and today I walk new in light all the time through the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for me, so I can walk in the light all the time. And if we walk around saying these righteous, pious people, we're going to hinder our relationship as well. Okay, we are all sinners, guys. We all need to declare. We all need to come forward sometimes and say, can I pray for this? I've done this in my life. The problem is some of us don't want to admit that we are sinners. And we stand here like we've got no sin, and people are too afraid to approach us as Christians because we say we are loved. No, Jesus is the only one without sin, but he has shed his blood so that we can walk in this light. And we need to say, I'm also a sinner. So are you a sinner, but I've cleansed myself today. I feel pure. I feel right. And I'm walking in this light, and I'm putting darkness behind me. So let's walk in this attitude as well. Because when we walk with this pious religious act, it's also not right. You're lying. Okay. But we have victory over sin. It's not an excuse. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot do it. He does it. We come into this perfect relationship with him. We thank him. We get cleansed through confession. We are filled with the light of the world, who is Jesus and Father. And we walk into this in this relationship and being in the light as he is in the light. Continue. Paul, the problem is we drift into this darkness, and we even start to live this Christian life in a place of darkness. And then verse 10. I just want to see, I've covered just all the important things that I wanted to go. Yeah. And then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is Jesus Christ. Okay? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we need to come to this attitude is, thank you, Father, for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for taking away these sins. Thank you that I can walk in this light. Thank you that I can come into the right relationship filled with light and walk with a Father of light so that we can go out and be the light to this world. You know, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he gives us all things. He tells us to go out into the light. I can't expand anymore. Hopefully, we can move on to sometime to 1 John 2 because it teaches us about his commandments. Do you know that the ladies did James yesterday? The ladies. I hope all you ladies were there because it's the word. It's learning how to be filled with light. It's going to have fellowship. It's all these things we're talking about. James has 5 books and has got 54 points on obedience. The next chapter we're lucky we got off the hook today is about obedience. It teaches us how to come into fellowship with God. So I'm going to close here because we've taken in a lot. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing word, which is Jesus, which is life, which is light. And in it, there is no darkness. And we thank you that we can be freed, and you've separated. It says you've transferred us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his son that is filled with light. And Father, right now we just want to settle this in our hearts. Father, we want to see and know how to come into a right relationship with you. And it's by confessing our sins. It's by saying that we have sinned. It's by saying that we have changed. It's by saying that we can confess our sins and come to you in a way where we have got no guilt. We've got no condemnation, where we are free and we can walk in right relationship with you. Father, thank you that we've got the privilege of knowing the living God. Thank you that we've got relationships with each other, with the physical and the natural, but we can have a relationship with the spiritual, with God, with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we want to change. We want to know. We want the truth. We're sorry for lies. We're sorry for things that we've given ourselves for. We're sorry if our joy has been robbed. Our joy for you. When that name Jesus is mentioned, something should leap in front of us. I think of Mary and Elizabeth, when Mary walked in with Elizabeth and she said, inside me, the baby leapt with joy. We should be, when Jesus is mentioned, when Jesus is in our midst, we should be leaping with joy. If our joy has been robbed, Lord, we want to come to you and say, we want to be removed from all darkness. We want to move from Simon's to Peter's. We want to be Peters that are built on the rock of Jesus Christ, and we want a right relationship with you. We thank you that we can eat your word, that we can be changed in an instant. We thank you that we're learning who you are, and we are changed by it. So may we walk as children of light, as you are in the light, in Jesus' name. Amen.